Greetings in Jesus' name. Thank you, brother, for sharing those words of encouragement. Let's sing our theme song. I give you freedom. Go ahead. I give you freedom. We have a choice to make. Tonight we'd like to look at the Christian home and some of the blessings that we can experience in our homes that gives us freedom. We're all part of a home, the Christian home. Is an establishment that is designed by God. The subject on the home is dear to my heart. When I consider my own experience growing up in a Christian home, many values, godly values that my parents have taught us. My dad died of cancer a number of years ago. It was in 2011. Several years before that, he was diagnosed with colon cancer. There was a portion of his colon removed, and they had recommended that he would take treatment. He opted not to. He had fairly good health for a couple years. I think it was about 2.5 to 3 years later, he started feeling sick. And then when he was checked out, they took a scan. I think they called it a PET scan. He was infested with cancer all over. I remember the time when we went. My brother and I and were there when the doctor had given us the report. He showed it to us on a screen. He lived for probably about 5 months after that. But the testimony of my dad, he said, "This is just how it is." He was satisfied with whatever God allowed. My mother and father spent much time in prayer. They prayed for the family daily. Prayed by name. And this went on for Mom. My mom passed away. It's not quite a year. She had congestive heart failure. Last several months, a bit of care that we as a family had a part in, and we treasure that. Mom was one that she was ready to go. And she would talk about that numerous times. She had a hope. And it really didn't matter when that time is going to be. It was in God's hand. Mom prayed. She prayed much for the family. She prayed daily. And I suppose sometimes I wonder how long Mom prayed when she prayed for all of us siblings by name. Grandchildren by name. She left a testimony of a godly life, a godly influence. When we were growing up, my parents enjoyed singing, and family devotions was a very important part of their lives and for us as a family. Going to church was important. We missed very few services. We would have hay down in the field that maybe was ready to bale. It was more important to Dad. We go to church. Even if it maybe got rained on. You and I, as Christian homes, what legacy are we leaving? And I'm glad for the many things that I have been taught and the foundation that was laid. But this didn't just happen. It was not an automatic thing. It takes the grace of God. It takes the help of God. And when I think of my own experience, my wife and I with our 8 children, and some of the things that we held dear and tried to share and to relate and to plant and to take time in. And I realize tonight that not everything works the same for every home. Each one of us children had a choice to make as to where and what direction we want to go. And as we gave our hearts to the Lord is able to make and give us direction. And I'm saying tonight that my heart goes out for families and for parents who may have wayward children. Or they may have those that their heart is not right. I think God is concerned about those as well. God loves each one. God loves us as parents. And for all of us here tonight, we have an opportunity. And I know there's a lot of parents here this evening. And my heart just goes out to you as you consider the responsibility with your little ones. You have a treasure. You have a gift. These little olive plants that are around your table. And the time that you invest. It's an investment. It's like they say sometimes that the only thing we can take along to heaven is our children. And yet we realize that as our children, as they grow and as they get older, they have a choice to make. We can play a great impact on the direction of their lives and their travel in life. But finally, they have a choice. But praise God tonight, if we take serious what has been handed to us and the opportunities we have. And I treasure godly homes. Father and mother who love each other. Children who love their parents. And there's a cohesion. There's a love. There's something there that we wouldn't trade for. At the same time, I'm aware there's an enemy. He loves to do things. He loves to make inroads. And put wedges into the lives of father and mother in the home and maybe children. But tonight we have something to offer. We have an opportunity. We have something. We have a foundation to build on. And that's where we'd like to start this evening as we look at the home, the Christian home. What makes a home Christian? What constitutes a happy marriage? We live in a society where God's plan for the home is largely disregarded. We need solid Christian homes to build strong Christian churches. There are foundational principles when applied, can result in a happy home. And as you look at the landscape of our communities, you see houses and dwellings along the road and inside the mountains, and just seems like about every direction you look, you see dwellings where people live, homes. And in many of those dwellings, we have no idea what happens there. Many of our homes just kind of blend in the community. Maybe our neighbors down the road, they really don't have any idea what happens even within our own dwellings. So what effect do we have in our communities? Yes, as we learn to know those around us, our neighbors and maybe others down the street and our friends around us, what do they observe? What do they see? And as they observe our lives, and when they maybe have an opportunity to maybe get a window into our lives or into our homes, do they see that roof? Whether it's an overshadowing, it's a home, it's a family that loves each other, where father and mother love each other, children love each other. What do they see? As they view our homes, the walls of our houses, the foundation, there are so many likenesses and figurative examples that we can draw from the walls and the rooms in the house and the activity that goes in the house and the different rooms in the house and who occupies those rooms and how they're occupied. And in one weekend when I had a study on, shared some on the home, I used that, different homes and different rooms in the house and who occupies those rooms and some of the things that happen there and how it relates to our experience. The windows that the people can look in, what do they see there? What do they observe? And it's like many times, you know, maybe we feel like it's kind of confined. And nobody really knows what's going on there. But as time goes on, there's more and more comes out. More and more gets revealed, especially as our children get older. Start coming to school. Our school teachers here, they soon discover they can almost have a window right into our homes. They can kind of put some things together, what goes on there. And in some way, it somewhat exposes itself, even in church life. Those windows in our dwellings they're there to let light in. But it also has a way that we can see into that home. The doors of the house, and there's how we entertain visitors, people that go in and out, and others that can observe. The testimony that our neighbors pick up on as they are in and out and as they visit. I could go on and on with some of that figurative expression. But I'm thankful tonight that we have a foundation. We have the Word of God. And this all started at creation. It's not an afterthought. God established that principle from the beginning. We have that account in Genesis chapter 2. And I like to read from verses 18 to 25. The Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. For Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from the man, from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall the man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Tonight, the Christian home, the establishment of a home of male and female, and of a coming together. It's a divine institution. God provided an helpmeet for Adam. Also an emotional bond because of leaving and cleaving. It's a union set in place as long as they live. It's a sacred ordinance of God. It's a commitment for life. And Jesus reinforced this principle in Mark chapter 10. And it's pretty much the same understanding of what this passage is talking about. For one to leave father and mother and cleave unto his wife. And then the Apostle Paul, in one of his writings in the epistles, reinforces the same. So that thing is woven right down through the word. And then we have many examples in scripture of godly homes. We also have example of those that were not. But we're talking about a Christian home tonight. A place where the world of strife shut out, the world of love shut in. It's a place where the small are great and the great small. The only place on earth where faults and failings of humanity are hidden under the secret mantle of charity. To build a Christian home, it's built on love. It's built on something solid. It's built on agape love. It's far deeper than a physical love. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. The Lord has a blueprint. He has a plan. Anything that is done outside of God's plan is not lasting and will not stand. But I think God honors marriage, even though many take it in terms of their own advantage. I think God still honors marriage, even if they go to a JP, or if they get things done outside of counsel, and they go and get married. God sets a record. God has a record. Dear friends, tonight, mothers and fathers, I'm thankful that we have something solid to build on. We have fathers and mothers here tonight. I'm a father. That responsibility has been placed on, there's a lot of responsibility placed on us fathers. We have in Proverbs 24, verse 3, through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Fathers, we're primarily responsible for the structure of our homes. And as our mothers, as they go alongside of us, it can be a beautiful experience as we find our rightful place. And along with an added encouragement for our youth, as we talked about last night, how important it is to have an atmosphere in your courtship that is a godly courtship. The groundwork for establishing a healthy family altar begins during courtship. Bible reading, praying together. There are three basic areas that affect the life of the home, and that is physical, emotional, and spiritual. And there's so much that could be woven in there. You know, as we grow up as youth, and that there's a friendship established, it basically starts, or should start, on an emotional or on a spiritual level. Why is that important? It's because that's where the foundation starts. We take directives from the Word of God, and God's Word gives us an understanding of our spiritual life and where we need to be with that. And then we learn to know each other spiritually. And as time goes on, there's an emotional aspect of beginning to understand our feelings and a blending and how we can share together and blend together. The beauty of a person's character is within. It's not what you see on the outside. Yes, there can be some attraction, there can be things that we desire and we can admire, but hidden beauty is in the inside. And that can always be displayed by a person's outworking in their relationship with God. The relationship in the home as fathers. When you come home from work, how do you like to meet your wife? Or maybe you work at home during the day and you're in and out all the time. But you know, we as fathers set the stage for an environment where everybody can be relaxed, where everybody can just enjoy being together. And it's not wrong to go and give your wife a welcome smile and a love, a hug, or however you want to do it. Children soon pick up on the beauty of a relationship between husband and wife. And it's the same way for the wife. How you respond to your companion shows a beauty, or it should show a beauty, that your home is the most blessed place. It's the place you love to be. And to be surrounded with your companion and your family, your children, if the Lord blesses you with children. Those things just flow on and on, daily. I grew up on a farm, so we just lived on the farm, a lot of us. And of course, some of us had jobs when we were older, our youth. And so being at home was something not uncommon. Fathers and mothers, we have a noble calling. The opportunity to be involved in kingdom work is in our homes. That's where it needs to start. You know, sometimes we tend to get all excited about things that are going on, and I think it's good to be involved in what the church is involved in as well. When we can collectively have that a part of our life as well. But first of all, I think we need to consider our homes, our Christian homes. Love is the primary ingredient in the Christian home. It involves teaching, taking time. Teaching makes or causes the child to know. Now, as we move into, it kind of overlaps here, the responsibility of mothers and fathers and children. And as I go through this, I don't want to keep it be scattered with it, but at the same time, it's interwoven. So bear with me. Think of a verse in Proverbs 14, verse 1. Every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pull it down with her words, with her hands. A wise woman consciously and continually builds her family. Her example, her teaching, sacrificially giving of herself. I have a note here somewhere. It has to do with a mother's schedule. One of the most unpredictable schedules in a home is the schedule of a mother. And that's sometimes why us fathers need to understand. If you come home, things might seem like they're in a chaos and she's on behind. Maybe there's a sick child. And dear friends, dear brethren, you have an opportunity to try to pick up, help lighten the load, encourage her. Yes, I love a happy home. And God has a plan. And as we consider our responsibility is with our children, training, it takes a lot of time. Teaching causes the child to know. Training makes or causes the child to do. We impart, we give, convey, communicate the knowledge of. The time is urgent. We have little time. Our children are not with us very long. To instill means to cause to enter drop by drop. And we have that scripture back there in Deuteronomy. It's a very familiar scripture. I think I should read a few verses there, where it talks about our rising up and our sitting down. And in chapter 6, hear, O Israel, the word, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, houses full of good things, which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and are full. Very encouraging verses. And how that we can plant good seeds, and our children can reap of that. And it can go on from generation to generation. Some examples that we have. Think of Abraham. And God said, I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. We have the testimony of Joshua, when he said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He had a purpose, he had a vision of where he's headed. Think of Noah. God told him to build that ship. He was righteous in his generation. Someone has said, If you want your ideas to last for years, write them on paper. If you want them to last for decades, write them on brick. If you want them to last for centuries, write them on stone. If you want them to last forever, write them on the heart of a child. Those seeds that we plant and those little nuggets of everyday experiences, little by little, here a little, there a little, the time that we take, it has a way to bring rewards. Yes, it does. Like instilling, which means cause to enter drop by drop. Family devotions. Like I mentioned, that was something very important to my parents. And it was in our home as well. And I've sensed, even over the last years, and even one time when I shared a message in relation to the home, there's a young person that came up and said afterward how he finds it so hard sometimes in having time. And I know we're in a busy schedules. We have our work responsibilities. We have other activities. And so where's our focus? What are we willing to give up? And I realize that sometimes there might be a good reason that some of that doesn't work out. But dear friends, if we want to have something solid, and our children want to have something solid, we need to think about some of these things. When it comes to child training, I know for us, when we went to church sometimes, I think one of our children, as soon as we went into the church driveway and we headed for the church house, this little fellow would cry. He knew what was coming. He had to go to church and he had to go in there and sit down and be quiet. He hated it. There was a bishop that said something to me. One time he said, maybe you should take a little more time with your children. Or I'm not sure what he said with that child. Those things that spoke to me. Those are some things that, you know, we tend to take to heart. People observe, they see, they can kind of see what happens. And I know children are children. I know things happen in church, and I understand that. Sometimes children need discipline in church. I've discovered personally, even in our family worship, that there is an advantage for the father to hold the little one. Sometimes he likes to squirm. He likes to try to get out of our hands and go over and sit beside mama or maybe brother or sister. That might all have its place. But I've discovered, if I take the responsibility to hold that child, and if it means something of being quiet or even maybe discipline, I can take care of it right there at home. And for my younger children, I've discovered, I know it might not work in every situation, but there's a lot that we can do at home that'll make it easier for us at church. Am I saying too much? It's an index. It's no use getting frustrated, parents. It's too easy to get frustrated. If you get frustrated, let that happen at home. Deal with it. And that's where I think sometimes fathers and mothers, you're in this thing together as you help each other and you can support each other. Mothers, it's not always this thing of, you wait till dad comes home. He'll take care of it. Sometimes there's things that mothers can take care of before daddy comes home. I know that depends what it is at times. fathers and mothers, there's such a reward as we just work together. We share together. And we can enjoy family life, enjoy our children. They're a gift from God. And God vested us with a great responsibility. There's some things that happen sometimes that maybe we feel a little irritable or we get irked. And as we learn to know each other as husband and wives, we can soon, next thing we discover, we said something we wish we wouldn't. What do you do about that? You just try to cover it up and, yeah, next thing you think of it when you go to bed. And I'll tell you, friends, be quick to say sorry. You made a mistake. You can build each other's relationship. You can build a strong relationship as you recognize your weakness and see that quick. I know in sharing a message in relation to husband and wife and the bedroom, and you know, the bedroom is a place where it's the relationship between husband and wife. It's an exclusive relationship. It's a sacred relationship. And it's the most blessed place to have a relationship. But it's the most blessed place that if you have something that you should clear with each other, clear it up before you go to sleep. You can rest in peace. And you can have the blessedness of a good relationship. I like the examples that we have from those in the Bible, and even how Sarai, she admired Abraham, called him Lord. There's a respect level that we need to keep in place in the home. Fathers, we have a notable calling. There's a headship order that God has established where we need to take our place. And I think as we fill our place, our wives will love to be under our direction. We have in the Bible, husbands love, wives submit. We dare not take that out of context. Or take that out of, or use that for our own advantage. Dear friends, dear husbands, if we have the proper concept of love and how we can minister to our wives will love to be under our leadership. We can discover that in Ephesians chapter 5. I should just read those verses again. Familiar verses. You've heard them many a time. Beginning in verse 20, giving thanks always to God for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blame. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Have you noticed how many times it says here about loving your wife? Sounds like a pretty tall order. But in a Christian home, it's beautiful. It's an expression. And it's, if it's overshadowed by the blessing of God, human relationships, the six most important words. I admit I made a mistake. The five most important words. You did a good job. The four most important words. What is your opinion? The three most important words. If you please. The two most important words. Thank you. The one most important word. We. The least important word is I. We're together. We're together in this. The family is a blessing. It means so many things. Words could never really tell the joy a family brings. A family is mutual love, the love of a dad and mother, showing children how to love and care for one another. A family is heartfelt pride, the feeling deep and strong that makes us glad to play a part and know that we belong. A family is always home, a place where we can share our joys and sorrows, hopes and dreams, for happiness lives there. A family is a bond of faith that even time can't sever, a gift to last throughout our lives. A family is forever. The Christian home should be a true oasis in this barren world, in this desert that we are living in. There are many troubled hearts. There are many troubled homes out there. But can we leave an example? May we leave a godly influence? Might it be, maybe it's to the church, your church family, or to your neighbors, someone you know well, extended family, of what the beauty of a Christian home is. I love family. I love the word. I love what God has given to us. I think we'll bring it to a close. Think of a closing verse in Psalm 90, verse 17. And let the beauty of God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Yes, it seems like we have busy. We can be so busy with our hands, and there's so much to do. But as we consider this evening, the opportunities we have, well, I see something I was gonna share. I think I'll still share it. That is, the German National Socialist regime said, "Give me a child of six to educate, and he will belong to me for life." Hitler's Nazi government believed that if he could begin indoctrinating a child at an early age, he would have his loyalty for life. The implications of this statement for Christian education are profound. If the Nazis could make this statement with such bold confidence, surely with the aid of the Holy Spirit, we can proclaim it even more emphatically. A child develops and learns a lot in the first 6 years of its life. There's a foundation laid in the lives of those little children at an early age. And as they continue in their growing and on into the teens, adolescence, and there's so much that could be said about that. But young parents, take courage. there's a lot happens. There's a lot that is planted into the hearts and lives of those first years. Take courage. I love thy kingdom, Lord. I love what God has given. I'd just like to bless you tonight. Thanks for your attention. And take courage. I want to continue to take courage. My children, our youngest child is almost 20. And I didn't do everything right. Sometimes I feel like I've made plenty of mistakes. But I'm glad that God has taught me many lessons in spite of the mistakes I made. But I love my family. I love the blessing of the support of my wife and my family. And it's by the grace of God and by his help that we can continue in our journey. So Lord, bless you for being here and continue to pray for each other. Let's encourage each other in our responsibilities and pray for us. Also pray for the service tomorrow that the Lord could be glorified. Let's pray. Father,